and dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets. And the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who need us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. Hell here on earth, in some city schoolyard.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, hour two of the National Intel Report. And just by happenstance, I happen to be in the studio, in the network here, earlier this morning. And all of a sudden, everything just lined up. And I thought, well, wait a minute here. I'd received Bernadine Smith's information a couple of days ago. I got Tom DeWeese's information today. And all of a sudden, everything started to click. Now, as I said, I went up to the Council on Foreign Relations website. And I took a look at this. And I thought, uh-oh. So I started to read deeper. Now, it was interesting, and let me get to the task force members here. The task force members reads like a who's who here. But we had Pedro Aspe, Thomas Axworthy, Heidi S. Cruz. And keep in mind that these members, a lot of these are CFR members, and I cannot state this strongly enough, that the Council on Foreign Relations was set up to do one thing and one thing only, and that's to transform this government and to meld it into a world government. Since its existence in 1921, this has been their whole and sole objective. Right under the nose of the United States government, under the State Department, they have been working all of these years. We're talking almost going on a century here, folks. About 14, 15 years short of a century that these people have been working. What did we have in 1913? Oh, that's right. We had Banking Act, Income Tax Act, 1921. Oh, that's right, the Council on Foreign Relations. And this is what they say from their own information. Founded in 1921, the Council on Foreign Relations is an independent national membership organization and a nonpartisan center for scholars dedicated to, for producing and disseminating ideas so the individual and corporate members, as well as policymakers, journalists, students, and interested citizens in the United States and other countries can better understand the world and the foreign policy choices facing the United States and other governments. The Council does this by convening meetings, conducting a wide-ranging studies program, publishing Foreign Affairs, the pertinent journal covering international affairs and U.S. foreign policy, maintaining a diverse membership, sponsoring independent task forces, and providing up-to-date information about the world and U.S. foreign policy on the Council's website, www.cfr.org. I said com, I correct. Org. Now, they say that the Council takes no institutional position on policy issues and has no affiliation with the U.S. government. Lie. They lied. They lied. They lied. We'll take your calls after this short break and more about this. This is earth-shattering, folks. 5 years. Welcome to global governance. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, needs special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And who is in on this deal? Well, it says right on their own page, the council will sponsor an independent task force when, one, an issue of current and critical importance to U.S. foreign policy arises, and it seems that a group of diverse in backgrounds and perspectives may, nonetheless, be able to reach a meaningful consensus on a policy through private and nonpartisan deliberations. Typically, a task force meets between 2 and 5 times over a brief period to ensure the relevance of its work. Upon reaching the conclusion, the task force issues a report and the council publishes its text and posts it on the council's website. Task force reports reflect a strong and meaningful policy consensus with the task force members endorsing the general policy thrust and judgments reached by the group. Though not necessarily every finding and recommendation, task force members who join the consensus may submit additional and dissenting views. Sure, they do. Now, this is all structured, folks. And I'll tell you who one of the parties here, one of the parties that funded this particular task force, the North American Community Report of the Independent Task Force on the Future of North America, was none other than the big Agra group, Archer Daniel Midland. That's one of the ne'er-do-wells. A lot of money came from ADM. That's right. The people have been running farmers out of business in this country for a lot of years. Let's go to the phones. Rodney in Texas. Hello, Rodney.
How you doing, John?
Pretty heated. What's on your mind?
Well, last Friday I listened to an interview hosted by Alex Jones, and in that interview he interviewed a guy who was quoted in the Lou Dobbs report.
Mm-hmm.
What I took from that interview, John, it was that number one. Because I haven't heard all of the CFR members, but the ones that I have heard are all typically like this gentleman that Alex Jones interviewed. I can't remember his name, but I'm sure it's archived on Alex Jones' website. However, his attitude was very pompous, very haughty,
mm-hmm.
very arrogant.
Sure.
And had no problems with basically telling Alex Jones, you don't know how to think. I have more education and I'm more affluent. I come from, the elite. And so therefore we think for you, we're the ones who, this is how he came off. Actually, he didn't just come off that way. He actually told Alex Jones, you and Lou Dobbs both, basically your thinking is very off base.
Well, of course. I mean,
and furthermore, when you were reading this thing about the CFR, how they operate, that is the farthest thing from the truth that I've ever seen. When they say, well, we take no position, but when you look at every one of their individuals there, they're all in politics somewhere or another.
Either
some
in,
way or another.
Either in politics, or they are an inner circle member, or they're head of a corporation.
Yeah, so how can they honestly say, and there is no honesty in my opinion, that we take no position when you got Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, this gentleman who was on Alex Jones show. Alex interviewed another CFR guy today, and Charlie Rangel, he's a CFR guy. Every one of them, even Rangel kind of, he was somewhat honest, but he's still a CFR person, and he's going to take he's the one that's proposing this draft. And in my opinion, I think Rangel is taking his marching orders from the higher ups in the CFR.
They have been told, look, if you are a member or a wannabe member, You are told about the agenda. You are also told not to discuss this in any length or detail unless you get the official stamp of approval from your bosses. This has been going on for a long time. And like I said, Lou Dobbs is about the only one that's really covered this in the news.
Yeah, well, I had an opinion on that. I think Lou Dobbs is being set up just like Dan Rather and some of these other people who decided, look, we got some hard evidence here, that concrete evidence that we could bring out over the airwaves and put pressure on this administration. However, when they put the evidence out there, we've seen what happened. The higher ups turned the table on them.
We're talking about what brought Rather down was obscure documents that were changed or altered or somehow came up lost. This was an issue and the main issue about this was George Bush and his involvement in the military. But that can be easily altered. What I'm talking about here cannot. So I don't know how they're going to go after Lou Dobbs. We've been getting the criticism for some a decade now, at least a decade, Rodney. That we are some kind of out there, fanatical, on drugs, fringe elements of society that just were just anti this, anti government that. We're racist. We're just all these horrible people. At the very same time, the elites and their connections through the medias were saying the same words, only in different terms that people did not understand, because they were not handed the dictionary as to how to read what they were being told on their nightly news.
Right.
See, we were the wingnuts; these were the people that were in the know, but we were all wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Even when you're right, they still tell you that you're wrong, just like this guy did with Alex Jones. However, I wanted to point out that there was another anchor person at CNN came right out bluntly over the airwaves and said that he thought that there were journalists being murdered intentionally over there in Iraq. Well, you know what? They railroaded him right off the air. He was summarily dismissed, and I can't remember his name, but it just happened in the last few months.
All right.
And once again, I say that I believe that they'll probably, and this is the modus operandi of the elites, if anybody is not following the game plan, they get railroaded right off the airwaves. And finally, you ask the question, you know, can individuals be arrested and sent to jail for not putting meters on their water wells? Well, evidently, the answer is yes, because as other programs have pointed out, they have went after people who have these magic Rubik's cubes and go-go bars and things like that. They've sent Homeland Security in there to arrest these people under the Patriot Act, and we know what the latest skinny is on that. You know, Sensenbrenner is trying to push for that to be expanded. So
Sensenbrenner, Robbie Noel brought up something to me today, but Sensenbrenner was with the National ID card. I mean, he was the original either sponsor of that or co-sponsor, I forget which. But there's other things that Mr. Sensenbrenner is involved in right now that ties directly into global governance schemes.
Sure.
I mean, and here these people are. They're walking around unencumbered. They're not getting called for it. I consider this. Look, they might have manipulated this through law somehow. But I consider this, because in most Americans' belief that this is a constitutional republic, I consider this treason of the highest accord.
Of course. Of course.
Dissolving a country. If that's not treasonous, and the people that are going along with it, there's no plausible deniability here, because being in high seats of government, it's your business to know what's going on. So I make all of these people sublime this. I make all of these people culpable.
Well, John,
and responsible.
Can I say this, and I'll get out of your way?
Please,
here.
I got a lot of calls here.
The latest polls are showing that there are a lot of people waking up, and a lot of people are not going alone with this dictatorship that's in the White House right now. So I think that there's a glimpse of hope here. I don't know when the masses will completely wake up.
It depends on how well we do our job. I'm Rodney, this is what I've been telling people for a long time. It is not up to a Lou Dobbs. It is up to us. When people start taking their responsibility in our own country, when they start stepping up and assuming the responsibility that they already have, but they start to take action, this is what I've been talking about.
I do see a glimmer of hope here, John, because like I said, now they're talking about sending people's sons and
Rodney,
daughters.
I got to let you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Joe in Texas. Hello, Joe.
Hey, John.
Hi.
I can say I empathize with you. I feel the kind of the same way. You feel like you're like in a cartoon. You're being you're in the pot. You're boiling in water, and they're just throwing the vegetables in. You know, it's gone too far.
Where's the parsley? I like parsley.
in a Texas type of a thing. Have you heard anything about a law that Perry supposedly pushed through about people that are in their homes if there's any type of emergency? The mayor, all these different people can just tell you to get out and you have to go. You no longer have the option of, you know, remaining in your house in any type of whatever is deemed an emergency.
Well, yeah, it could be for hurricanes. It could be for biological releases. It could be for what we just saw happen in San Antonio, a truck carrying explosives, tips over, whatever the case may be. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think Texas has just gone nuts. That CPS has gone nuts. I mean, it's...
When I see fire trucks and these firemen flying the American flags off the back of their truck showing up at a gas station because somebody spilled a quart of gas on the ground, you know, and they bring out the kitty litter to clean it up, we're wasting a lot of time and manpower and energy. For what? It's to protect the environment. Hang on, Joe. I'll carry you over on the break. We'll be right back.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Republic Trading, a division of Republic Broadcasting Network, has a simple mission. Take the guesswork out of buying gold. With 20 years of experience in the gold business, I can tell you the best-kept secret is European gold. Republic Trading has a limited amount of pre-1900 French Angel 20-franc gold coins on offer at only a fraction over its gold content value. These almost one-fifth ounce gold coins are available for immediate delivery. Call today, 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills mold and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Hear that? That's the sound of nearly 3 million American jobs being flushed down the toilet. What caused it? NAFTA. 10 years ago, Congress passed NAFTA. It was supposed to boost our economy. Instead, we lost millions of jobs and the nation is still hurting. But now Congress is quietly considering doing it again, but worse this time. By creating a free trade area of the Americas, also called the FTAA. This would outsource millions more American jobs and businesses. How can our country survive this devastation again? Learn how you can help. Visit www.stoptheftaa.org or call 1-800-JBS-USA1. Log on to our website and let Congress know that you think FTAA is not an option for America's future. Stoptheftaa.org and keep American jobs in America.
Task Force report, it says in its introduction, the security and well-being of its citizens stand at the very pinnacle of any government's responsibilities. At the beginning of the 21st century, the future of Canada, Mexico, and the United States are shared as never before. As a result, all three countries face a historic challenge. Do they continue on a path of cooperation in promoting more secure and prosperous North American societies? Or do they pursue divergent and ultimately less secure and less prosperous courses? Who are they talking about? Mexico? Mexico has never been interested in uplifting its people. Canada has been interested in setting up a socialist government and bilking people of their tax dollars. What do they pay, 70-75% in taxes in Canada? Well, that's fine for Canada. That's what they want to do. If they're seeking their utopian society by bleeding the bucks out of everybody else's pockets, well, let them have at it. But let me remind you something, folks. It was intentionally, we were intentionally driven to our knees because we were the economic engine of the world. So what do we have in common with Canada, and what do we have in common with Mexico? The answer is nothing, except that our borders touch each other. Our countries touch each other. That's it. And I said this about this meeting that took place in March with George Bush. What did they pass it off as? Oh, well, we're going to be discussing, you know, other issues. Out of the Council on Foreign Relations' own website, it says, at their meeting in Waco, Texas, at the end of March of 2005, U.S. President George W. Bush Mexican President Vicente Fox and Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin committed their governments to a path of cooperation and joint action. We welcome this important development and offer this report to add urgency and specific recommendations to strengthen their efforts. The three countries of North America are each other's largest trading partners. More than 80% of Canadian-Mexican trade is with the North American Free Trade Agreement. Almost one-third of U.S. trade is with Canada and Mexico. Trade among these three countries has tripled in value over the past decade. Whose value? Not the United States' value. North America is also energy interdependent, though not energy independent. In 2004, Canada and Mexico were the two largest exporters of oil to the United States. Canada supplies the United States with roughly 90% of the imported natural gas of all of its imported electricity. You know, that was pointed out when we had that blackout. Remember that blackout? Oh, yes, it must have come from Canada. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joe, go ahead. I'm sorry, I kind of got on a mini rant there.
That's all right, John. The job I have, I say I run into maybe five or six people a day, different homes, and I'll try to bring up on at least four of them different things that are going on with this New World Order stuff. And if I'm lucky, one person may know it. And it's generally an African-American person. If you find any like Caucasians, they don't seem to, oh, what can you do? You know, that's about the extent.
I'm missing your point here. What's your point about this?
Well, the point is, I think people just aren't aware. They're just not aware of what's going on. Whatever the topic is, whether it's
yeah, but you were making a distinction between races here. Well, what?
Well, it seems like, at least in Central Texas, it seems like most of the Caucasian people you run into, as I run into, don't know anything about any of it.
Well, and do they care? Because either working for Dell or Applied Materials, or they're scared to death that they're not going to have a job next week while they're watching their jobs being farmed out to Pakistan or India, or the manufacturing moved over to China or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, it's just there's just boiling frogs out there. Nobody seems to know nothing, you know, and the ones that do, oh, what are you going to do? You know, nobody cares.
Well, you know, that may be their position. But I don't know who you've been talking to, but I know a lot of people that listen to this radio broadcast in San Antonio, in Pflugerville, in Georgetown, in Austin, in Bastrop, all over the place. I don't know who you've been talking to.
It's mostly Austin, but most, and like even teachers, I can talk to teachers about different things like New Freedom or body mass indexing, and none of them even know that it's going on. But I don't know what these people are doing at their jobs, if they're just half asleep or what. But most of the people seem unaware.
Okay. All right.
Or
Joe.
They don't want to talk about it, one or the other.
Or they're scared once they hear it to look into it further, because it might spell out the end of their preconceived existence here in the United States. Joe, what were you taught to believe when you were growing up in this country? You worked hard. You didn't break the law. Breaks would come your way. And everything would be rosy. You'd be able to raise your children, put them through college. They would be in a better position than you were in your lifetime. That's what you were told, and that's what you bought as the American dream, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the cognitive disconnect comes when they're facing a reality that, wait a minute, our standard of living has not improved in 15, 20 years. Oh, wait a minute, I may not have a job next week. Oh, well, the dollar's only worth 3.5 cents on the dollar. You know, all of these things are piling up on them. They don't know where it's coming from. And this is most disturbing, that people are suffering under the yoke of some sort of oppression or some sort of agenda, and they cannot tell you where it's coming from. This is sad.
The Christians are the worst.
Well, now I won't say that. Now, yeah, okay, Joe, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Look. If you're going to make blanket statements about people, I know a lot of good Christians that don't have their head in the sand, that don't subscribe to, I'm just going to get down on my knees and pray, and all as I care about is the salvation of my soul and my family. That's not true. There's a lot of good Christians in this country because they recognize that this nation started as a Christian nation. God wasn't interested in slaves, folks. God was interested in free people, and the founding fathers of this nation took that into consideration. And hence founded this great country. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Pain medication can't heal the cause of your pain. But what if the pain is so great as to make it unbearable without it? Listen to the results of one 44-year-old man.
My name is John Frey. I have fibromyalgia and was taking 12 to 14 Ultram tablets a day just to try to stay pain-free. I also had headaches, which would incapacitate me. I also had severe allergies and was dealing with arthritis, which set in after two compression fractures. After just 3 weeks on Cocoon GH, I noticed my pain was gone, and I no longer needed to take the Ultram anymore. My headaches disappeared, and my allergies are virtually gone. My energy level has increased, and I feel better today than I have in 15 years. My graying hair has also started to darken, and a bald spot on my head has started to grow hair again. My wife got on Cocoon GH, and after only 8 days, a lower back pain that she had suffered with for 14 years has gone away permanently. She no longer takes Celebrex. Thanks for such a wonderful product.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-6833. That's 888-988-6833.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
John in Louisiana. Go ahead, John.
Good evening, John.
Yes, sir.
You were speaking about the CFR, and there's a couple of salient points that some of your listeners ought to try to digest and understand. The CFR is arranged in a system like this. It's a circle within a circle within a circle within a circle. There is an inner core at the top that controls everything. Now, there's a large membership, 3,000 people, and 95% of those have nothing to say about the management and operation of and policies of the CFR. You have people at the edges like Chester Ward, Admiral Chester Ward. You have people like Buckley, William F. Buckley. They don't have not a cotton-picking thing to say about the policies at the top. That's strictly in the hands of David Rockefeller. His relationship to the CFR is about the same as it is to the Trilateral Commission, which he organized and set up by himself. His family, he was 15 years the head, for 15 years the head of the CFR, he appointed the other people. Nobody who he doesn't agree with has ever been at the head in the top of the CFR. Now, there's another salient point. Eustace Mullins says, and I've heard him say, that the CFR doesn't decide anything of moment. The big decisions are made in England by the RIIA, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the round table bunch, and then they pass the word down to the CFR. But we ought to try to understand that.
I don't know that I agree 100% with Mr. Mullins's view on that, because its counterpart to the round table has been the CFR, and it's been operating in this country since 1921. And I fail to see where these people are not making policy. Yeah, they may be getting their marching orders from on high.
Right, that's exactly what I said. I said a big moment. Certainly they have domestic influence on domestic policy, certainly.
Well, domestic policy, I mean, what is domestic about global governance? You know, I mean, this is directing, and they're saying in their literature that, you know, they don't represent the United States of America. But everybody that's in the CFR is part of a corporation, a business leader, a politician, ex-presidential Gary Hart's, things of this nature. I don't see where they can say that it doesn't have anything to do with the United States government, because it certainly does. And this couldn't have been going on in this country if the watchdogs of the Constitution in Washington, D.C. said, wait a minute here, we have a particular issue that we want to cover here. Let me go back to something that was sent by one of the people that was on. I'm getting an echo here, so I'm just going to bring it down for a second, John. Just hold on. I'm getting a weird echo through my headphones here. One of the people that was on this board, or the task force members, was none other than the ex-governor of Massachusetts. Now, this is what came out of the Massachusetts governor in 1992. This is a resolution that went over to the United States Congress and the Senate. Says resolutions memorializing the Congress of the United States to initiate the constitutional procedure to enable the United States to participate in a representative world federal government. Whereas global tranquility requires an international body elected on a representative basis from among world governments, and whereas the establishment of such body may require amendments to the Constitution of the United States and the Charter of the United Nations, and whereas Article 5 of the Constitution of the United States empowers the Congress of the United States to propose amendments to the Constitution, now therefore be it. Now, this is a little trickery or legalese here. Yeah, the government does have the power to propose amendments, but not when it destroys the very Constitution they're sworn to uphold. Resolved that the Massachusetts Senate calls upon the Congress of the United States to propose amendments to the Constitution of the United States which will enable participation in a representative world federal government, and be it further resolved that a copy of these resolutions be transmitted forthwith by the clerk of the Senate to the President of the United States, the presiding officer of each branch of Congress, and to the members thereof from the Commonwealth. And, well, this was Governor Weld. This was during his term in office. When was Bill Clinton first term in office? 1992. John?
Well, as the Bilderbergers, there's a bunch of, 200 or 300 people get together in the Bilderbergers, and they listen to some speeches, but they don't take a vote there to decide who is for what. They're told that. And any decision that comes out of a Bilderberg meeting was decided before the meeting ever took place. But I would truly appreciate if you would find a history scholar to discuss and dedicate a week to it, perhaps, to what happened in the Emergency Banking Act of 1933. What exactly was that, and what was the consequences? To discuss the first 100 days of Franklin D. Roosevelt, when he was elected in 1933. And then to discuss the findings of the Church Senate Committee of 1973, where they went back to investigate the status of the government of the United States, and they frankly admitted that that we're under a dictatorship. They did not go so far to admit that they were, all the people in Congress had been imposters for a long time, but they did admit that there's nothing in Congress can do that they can do to undo what was done in 1933 on March the 9th. If we could just do that and understand that, we would understand what kind of government we have. But lacking that, we've had a dictatorship since 1933, created by the Emergency Banking Act, and it's not productive to, it's counterproductive to talk about a republic of this country. We did in the time of John Adams and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, but. But that ended in 1933.
Well, what do you suggest we talk about then?
Exactly what has happened and what has happened in all these ensuing years under the Emergency War Powers Act, where the President of the United States has the authority to, without any consultation.
But the Emergency War Powers Act came from, what was it, Trading with the Enemy Act. That was amended.
Exactly.
Okay, but we've gone even back further than that. When we talk about how this government flipped itself, decided that it was going to centralize power in Washington, D.C. under Reconstruction. Well, and that seems to, now hold on, that seems to be at the key to this. Because the government couldn't be doing what it's doing, and that's what I'm saying. Some legalese and maneuvering have been taking place. So it goes back even further before that.
We ought to be talking about that. We ought to understand that. And to pretend that we're living under a republic is counterproductive. Congress has no authority. You must recognize that all of the people who go before Congress to testify or to report anything, they treat the Congress with either contempt or condescension. And that includes the administration people, it includes the media people, it includes the military people, like North, for instance, who lie with their bare face hanging out. The head of the U.S. Air Force after 9/11 went up there and played the part of an idiot and denied knowledge of anything. They don't have any use for Congress doesn't write. They don't write 10% of the bills and laws that they pass. That's all handed to them by special interest groups or by the administration. We'd be better off if they were adjourned and sent home, and then we would eliminate that pretense.
Sign a die permanently. All right. Hey, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Going back to what Governor Weld did during his term. This goes back to there was a story in the Boston Herald, July 12, 1997. Governor William F. Weld, which, by the way, Weld was on this task force, and, well, he is the American University. He's tied to a lot of different people. But let's just get specifically to what was said here. Governor William F. Weld yesterday signed into law a historic bill to abolish county government in Massachusetts, adding his own measure to ensure its elimination by 1999. Over the last three centuries, counties have become obsolete, inward-looking bureaucracies with dozens of departments and department heads that serve themselves and not the taxpayer. This is what Weld is saying. The legislation that we are signing today is a good first step in eliminating a vestige of Massachusetts' colonial government. Weld's actions means bankrupt Middlesex County will be immediately eliminated and the state will assume all of its debts. Earlier this year, Middlesex County defaulted on $4.5 million in bonds. Worcestershire and Hampden counties would be eliminated within 1 year under the bill or sooner if they default on payments. However, Weld vetoed sections approved by the legislature which would have allowed 10 other counties to be established local commissions to rewrite their charters or face eliminations. Weld said that the provision only preserved the bloated status quo and would allow counties to continue to unnecessarily soak up taxpayer funds. Weld said the current inefficiency of the government system, laden with patronage and poor fiscal management, has accumulated approximately $45 million in debt statewide. County government has been around Massachusetts as long as the Weld family, but while my great-great-grandfather Weld's hunting jacket has not yet lost its usefulness, counties, I'm sorry to say, have. These are the people that are making new policy. These are the people that are the work dogs out there for the global governance. Now, bear in mind what I've said before. The New World Order is in disorder right now, but that's not going to stop people like George W. Bush from carrying out his treasonous, traitorous ways in trying to eliminate our nation's borders and bring us on. You've got to understand, NAFTA implemented more than 10 years ago. CAFTA, which is they're trying to establish right now from a top-down scenario, and the people that this is going to affect are starting to really get upset about this. This is what happened after the fact in Europe. People found out exactly what yoke of tyranny they were really under. So they've got to put CAFTA in before they can do the free trade area of Americas. But they already have their timetable. They have their marching orders. Oh, I know what it was that Robbie told me about, that Sensenbrenner co-sponsored a bill. I think it's Senate Bill 24 or something like that, that would eliminate the two-term provision of presidency of the United States, which means if that's successful, we could have George Bush for a lot more years to come. Would not be a good thing. Let's go back to the phones. John in Florida. Thanks for holding, John.
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Robbie was mentioning that Sensenbrenner wants to abolish the two terms. When are you going to stop frustrating yourself, John, and stop swimming against the tide and get in the step and
John,
learn to
John, I'm
going to
get in my car and come down to Florida and kick your ass.
Learn to love Walmart. Learn to
I'm
going to
get in my car,
Walmart.
John. I'm not going to fly in an airplane. I'm going to come down to Florida and kick your ass.
I'm pulling your leg here.
Well, I know you are.
Hey,
so
I heard Alex's interview with that man, and his name escapes me, but to kind of take off on what Roger was saying, this man wound up being pulverized by Alex. I mean, Alex was really beating up on the man to the point where all he could do was, like, ad hominem assaults and say things like, have you been to university? Are you a college graduate? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Speaking
are you,
about...
Are you part of the conditioned elite?
Yeah.
Basically is what he was saying, yeah.
Speaking about how...
See, and Robbie took exception to that interview. He said it was really great that Alex had this guy on.
Oh, yeah.
But what I would have done in that interview, and I've done with people that are... semi-friendly, or at least have the gumption to get up on this program. I would have let the man, because this is a very knowledgeable audience. I would have let the man string up his own rope, tie his own knot, and I would have let him hang himself with it.
You're right.
I would have let him wax on and wane, and then I would have let the callers after him. I would have made a few salient points, and then I would have let the callers hammer him. That way, when he goes to bed at night, the last thought that goes through his head, if he sleeps at all, is, my God, they can see. Me getting up on a radio program and being flowery about this, I want to start affecting what they're doing. I want to start affecting their minions. And, people can beat up on people at any given time, and a lot of people do that to each other on a regular basis. But to have it more of an ad hominem attack kind of a thing, you do it on more the intellectual level that they perceive themselves as, these great brain trust. But when they find out the public, the common man on the street, knows what this clown's talking about, then it's a different story.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You send that turkey off the horizon with his tail feathers on flame.
This guy had all sorts of, degrees and,
Sure.
Titles. And, Alex should have done just what you're saying. Unfortunately, that's one of Alex's shortcomings. And as a matter of fact, the previous caller, John from Louisiana, I remember hearing him many times call in to talk to Alex over the years. And Alex was even too curt, in dealing with what John there had to
say.
Well,
that's his style. And I don't think Alex is going to change that. So,
yeah.
That's his style.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily agree with the way I run my show either sometimes.
No,
so.
not to beat up on him. But,
Yeah, I don't like to beat up on the man because he's doing a lot of good.
Yep, I agree with you.
All right.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, John,
bye.
I appreciate your call. Carl in New York. Hello, Carl.
John,
yes.
You're a tough cookie. That's all I got to say. I've been laughing.
I'm telling you.
I know it. How's you and your family doing?
All things considered, fairly well.
Great. Point of interest to the listeners. I was listening to public broadcasting system this weekend. And I used to live up by the Canadian border. I used to go back in the 60s, back and forth freely with no problems or anything. Well, I hear now, starting in 2007, if I'm in Florida and I want to go to Montreal to get back into New York State, in order to come back to customs, I have to have a passport.
So you're allowed to go to Canada without a passport to get back in, though you have to show one?
Yes.
Okay.
Point of interest, isn't it? Revenue. More tax revenue.
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember going up to Canada. My wife had never been to Canada, and this was, oh, gosh, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to hop over the Ambassador Bridge, and I wanted to take her over and have dinner over in Canada because there was a couple of nice restaurants across the Detroit River. And when we got up there, she was astounded by what was going on. We were pulled out of the car. We were told to go in the air-conditioned little booth for our comfort while they ran a check via computer.
Mm-hmm.
While the other goons were out, let's kill that break. Let's not do the break. While the other goons were out there going rifling through my car.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, and yes, there are thousands and thousands of vehicles that cross into Canada through Detroit. But it was a particular interest, you know, how they treated me. I was just going over there for a meal. and which, when I got to a restaurant, we ordered a steak. I was not allowed to have a knife because I was told it could be used as a dangerous weapon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that was my wife's introduction to Canada. She says, I don't think I want to come back here anymore.
Never had any problems at all. And, I mean, I've been going through Canada. Had girlfriends that lived up there and everything. And
yeah.
Relations. And never have any problems. Now, he says, in 2007, they want to start now with passports in order to come through the American customs.
Well, and I've said this on the air before. No, nobody has challenged me about this. I don't know how people are thinking about this. But I said, you know, this national ID card that Sensenbrenner helped push through.
Yes.
You know, I'd have no aversion. I mean, if they're saying we're in a national crisis here, I've got no aversion to carrying a passport. What I have an aversion for is using a state-issued document to prove who and what I am. If anybody from the FBI or the CIA or any other goon agency that's allowed to operate within the side the borders of the United States wants to see my citizenship, fine, here's my passport. Next question. But no, that's not what they were after. They're after a national ID card.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, that... They want to condition the successive generations that you've got to have these cards. We got to be able to compile your information. We've got to be able to look at your private information to determine whether you're a terrorist or, you know, a tax evader or whatever the case may be.
I'm on Medicare right now, and I injured myself, and I got workman's compensation for my left side. I was notified by Medicare that anything on the left side pertaining to my back and everything they will not pay for.
Well,
I was surprised that they knew all about that.
Well, doggone it, Carl. We're just going to have a Hillary Clinton-style national health care so we can bankrupt the rest
Please,
of the country.
Don't mention her name.
Hey, got to run, Carl. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it very much. Thomas in Michigan. Hello, Tom.
Yeah. We're talking about the Constitution, and actually I think what the Congress did is they destroyed it with the 11th Amendment. Because they took away the people's right to remedy. If they're the Constitution itself said whatever's lawful in one of the states is lawful in all of the states. You know, the thing is,
some might argue that when they gave the vote to the non-property owners is where they did a lot of damage also. Because the idea behind that was that if you have property, then you have a vested interest. If you are smart enough to have property and maybe have a business or a domicile or whatever the case may be on that private property, well, then you're smart enough to be able to vote in the system.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, John, is they meant, you know, what Congress did is they committed treason. They made the Constitution conflict with itself with the 11th Amendment. Fortunately, in my opinion, the only thing that applies is the Constitution and the first 10 amendments, because that's built on the Declaration of Independence.
By the way, I'd like to thank the individual that from Michigan that sent me a photograph of their original 13th Amendment in Michigan, in which stated about that's the missing federal 13th Amendment that I always speak of. That, you know, you can't have titles of nobility, i.e., you can't be an esquire or a lawyer and hold public office. And the verbiage on that was so terse that if you were found and discovered to be part and parcel of that, well, then you lost your citizenship, period.
Well, yeah, that was, you know, that was a real good idea. It does seem kind of, you know, the 13th and the 14th Amendment, of course. Like I say, anything beyond the first 10 amendments, I'm not paying any attention to, because I don't think the courts were able to make any decision once the Congress destroyed the Constitution.
I agree.
The first law they passed was the law about the oath of office. And, you know, it says in the New Testament of the Bible at least two places not to take oaths. You know, not to forswear. I mean, somebody could take an oath that say, yes, I follow the Constitution. Yes, my intentions are to obey the Constitution. Yes, in the past I have, you know, I haven't committed any treason. I've supported the Constitution. But when they started the forswearing of oaths, I think they kind of made it impossible for any legitimate spiritual Christians to get into government.
Well, and does it now, is it understandable to people that the reason why they had to get rid of Christianity in this country, you know, are people starting to catch on as to, you know, do you think it's still now a good idea that you take out the Ten Commandments, the supposed guidelines for the conscience of mankind?
Well, I don't think public schools belong in the...
Well, they don't. I mean, if you read the finer points of the Communist Manifesto, they talked about public schools to be used as a transmission belt for government propaganda. You know, what more can you say about it?
Right. Yeah. Well, Christianity. Yeah. The whole fundamental idea of the New Testament takes away the power from the established church and basically the government. It was the church and the government that crucified Christ, and that's a pattern that repeats. And
right.
I think we'll see it again. You know, in our day.
Hopefully not.
But it keeps happening again and again. The red dragon, when it persecuted the woman in Revelation, you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden when you saw that.
Right. Appreciate your call, my friend. Thank you. One more. Renee in Texas. Hello, Renee. Hello, Renee.
I'm kind of shocked that I was able to get in as quick as I was. I would think that there would be more people wanting to speak. But...
Well, there probably were, but you have less than 45 seconds now to make your point.
Well, I think one point would be along what Robbie was talking about last week about the value of things increasing and how that woman didn't understand what value gold is going to have. It's not just gold. It's tools. It's a lift able to work on cars. Any amount of money that any person has in a bank, they should take out of a bank and either get the things that they know they're going to need or get gold so that they can then trade for the things they're going to need.
And some miseducated people out there have said that the gold value of gold is going to follow the dollar.
Well,
and I have never heard anything so ridiculous in all my life, because all you have to do is watch what the gold has done versus any currency, especially inside this United States.
Well,
I mean, we even run a commercial on this network. You know,
gold
40 years ago...
an object anyway. We could use eggs or special rocks or anything.
Sure.
It's just a central item that two people bartering can use that a third person may want later.
And it has a precedent because we've been using it for over 5,000 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey... thanks for your call, Renee. I appreciate it. Call back when we have some more time, and when I see your name pop up, I'll give you some more time. Thanks for your call. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a fix, and the way to fix this is from the bottom up. That means us, the people, informing other people. I don't care about the people you get a negative reaction. Go to the next one. You may have a positive reaction. We'll see you tomorrow.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.